We'll begin our afternoon session. We're going to start with number 9, River Otter Delisting.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Director. I just want to kick this one off going into the proposal as the state threatened endangered species listing and the delisting of river otters. Just a quick background why we're bringing this forward to you as a recommendation today. During the legislative session, we had some ongoing conversations with Representative McCleary from up in the northeast corner of South Dakota. And early in the legislative session, he had the consideration of bringing a bill specifically to address this issue of having a river otter season here in South Dakota. And in our conversations with him, we had some good dialogue. Both Secretary Hepler and myself had a couple of conversations with him, and we talked about the steps that would have to go through to have an actual limited take type of season for river otters here in South Dakota, and the multiple steps that we would have to go through. And through those discussions, ultimately what happened is he actually pulled the bill and actually introduced a resolution, which we help put information together that talked about our agency moving forward with the delisting process and then the rule promulgation process of an actual season with some level of take for river otters here in South Dakota. This has been a topic that's been brought forward numerous times as a result of incidental takes on that eastern edge of the state, in particular along the Big Sioux River corridor. And so I just wanted to provide that background for you to understand where this is originally coming from, some of the discussions we had. Again, it was good dialogue with the representative. He was very comfortable with that approach, and that resolution is going through as we speak. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask Chad Switzer and Silke Kempema to come up and provide you some background on river otters, the delisting process, and our overall approach that we'll be doing this year from delisting to the actual season setting structure itself. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it over to Chad and Silke.
Good afternoon, Chairman Jensen, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler. This afternoon, I'm going to essentially go through the highlights of the action sheet that you have and kind of give the high points on the history of river otter and how we got to this point to recommend a delisting for this species. So as with beaver and wolf, river otter had one of the largest species distributions in North America at the time of white settlement. By the 1970s, it was gone from a good portion of its range, including likely extirpation from South Dakota. As Tom mentioned, in the state, we have a state endangered and threatened species law. This was enacted in 1977. Two of the highlights of that law directs the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks as one of the agencies to manage, protect, and restore the species that are on this list. And then also, the department should ensure the perpetuation as viable components of their ecosystem and also for human enjoyment. The following year, river otter were placed on the state of threatened mammals. In 1998 and 99, the Flandreau-Santee Sioux tribe introduced 35 river otter along the Big Sioux in Moody County. And since that time, and even before that time, our department has kept track of reports of river otter. And you can see over time, the number of verified reports has increased. And you'll see on the x-axis, it's the year, and on the y-axis, it's actual number of verified reports. And, you know, take note, the highest value there is 42. And we get more reports than that each year, but those are either unconfirmed or probable reports. In late 2010, a group of staff got together and we developed a state management plan for the species. It was finalized in 2012. One of the main things in that plan was to develop delisting criteria for the river otter. Those delisting criteria incorporated two topics, so reproduction and distribution of the species. And this looked at a 5-year time frame, so the previous 5 years, and focused on a recovery area within the state. And this recovery area essentially encompassed the eastern third of South Dakota. And this was due to the majority of our reports come from this area of the state. And a lot of the year-round kind of permanent open water habitat is found here. That's not to say we don't have river otter habitat in other parts of the state, but it's focused in this area. And you'll see that the western boundary of this recovery area, it's not linear. It's not based on a political boundary. The species is primarily aquatic, and thus we looked at watersheds, or more specifically basins and sub-basins, to help us measure and assess the criteria. So this is a more detailed look at the recovery area, and these are the five basins that are highlighted different colors, and then we'll get more into the basin or the sub-basins later. So the five basins, the Upper Red, the James, the Minnesota, Big Sioux, and Lewis and Clark Lake, these were the basins that we used to assess our criterion on reproduction. So a brief overview of what that criterion was. We wanted at least three of those basins with verified reports of reproduction. And we wanted that to be met for at least 2 of the 5 years prior to us coming and recommending the species be delisted. We use the sub, or well, this is the actual data, the location of those verified reports of reproduction. The sub-basins were used to help us assess the distribution of the species. Review of those criterion within each of those basins. So, say within the James Basin, we wanted 40% of the sub-basins to have at least one verified report of river otters. And similar to reproduction, we wanted that to occur for at least 2 of the 5 years prior to us recommending the species be delisted. And again, the location of those verified river otter reports from the last 5 years. And those criteria have both been met. So we're here today to recommend removing the river otter from the state list of threatened species because those criteria have been met, and we feel that protection is specifically under the state T&E laws is no longer needed. But that doesn't mean if it's delisted, we're not going to continue to work and monitor the species. The river otter plan is over 5 years old. We're currently working to update that plan. Two of the main components of that plan include a monitoring program to keep our finger on the pulse of how the species is doing in the state, and then also to look at potential harvest scenarios in South Dakota. And the data and the work on this plan comes from a number of staff. And so I'd like to acknowledge those staff at this point, especially the folks from Regions 3 and Region 4. They submit reports, they collect river otters that have been incidentally trapped, they conduct necropsies, and the public, especially trappers, if they incidentally captured one of those, they were to turn it in, and we get valuable data from those otters that are turned in, biological data. And then also members of the public. River otters are charismatic. People enjoy seeing them, or a lot of people enjoy seeing them, looking at their slides, their tracks, their scats, their latrines. For some folks, I mean, that's interesting, and they've shared that information with us. And all of that has contributed to us being able to make a decision on what to do with the species in South Dakota. I guess I'll leave it at that. Maybe open it to questions.
Can you explain the pros and the cons? Why would we delist? Why would we not? I mean, why are you proposing that we do this? What's the benefit?
Well, we feel that the species doesn't need the protections, so it doesn't need to be protected from legal take. And that's, like Tom had alluded to when he first started, that's one of the primary reasons. And And honestly, it's a success story. To have a short T&E list is a good thing. I mean, that law serves a purpose to protect those species that need it. But if it doesn't biologically need it, I think we feel it should be removed. And you know, enjoyment of from the public, and part of that could potentially be harvest.
Okay. Any other questions, Commissioner? Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp here. So from that original 35 that was planted, where do you think the numbers are at now?
Commissioner Sharp, you're asking population estimate. That's one thing we do not have. What we do have is information on, relative trends. Part of that was shown with the number of reports. That's not an unbiased data set. People can see an otter or trap an otter, and they may not necessarily contact Game Fish and Parks. And then we also have trend information from the necropsies that we've conducted, doing a backdating on population, getting a minimum population size. That trend has increased. And then also information from the necropsies that we've conducted, we can get age data. Again, that data set is not unbiased because it's incidentally captured otters, it's roadkill otters, but of those otters that we can age through tooth analysis, probably 75 to 76% of the population is 2 years and younger, which is indicative of a population that's growing. So despite the fact that we don't have a population estimate, the trends and the age structure of the population strongly suggests that it's increasing.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So we're taking this, we think it's that they've grown, they're plentiful out there, and are available to be trapped and everything. So what circumstance or what data would we use to put them back on a list if all of a sudden they're aggressively gone after for trapping purposes?
That's, Commissioner Sharp, that's one of the things we'll continue to work on with the update to the management plan. We do plan to continue monitoring. I expect that we'll continue to receive reports from the public, get information from necropsies, and we're discussing standardized surveys now to keep our finger of the pulse of the population. And if the information we have would suggest or show a downward trend, that's something that we would address and bring to the commission here too. You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments? No questions. So you need a motion to approve proposal.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator. We would need a recommended a motion to adopt the recommendation to remove from the state T&E threatened list. And
I make that motion. I second the motion.
Any more discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes.
Okay. I'd just like Silke acknowledged a lot of other staff and NGOs and trappers that have reported stuff, but Silke deserves a lot of credit here too for taking the lead on otter management and some of the monitoring efforts and some of the research that we've conducted with collaborators throughout the past. So thanks, Silke, for your work.
Thank you.